Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. Wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London School explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by StoryWorth. Give mom the most meaningful gift this year with StoryWorth. Get started right away without the need for shipping by going to StoryWorth.com/ghost. You'll get $10 off your first purchase. That's StoryWorth.com/ghost for $10 off. What do you do when you can feel the energy of an unseen entity? What do you do when that energy is filled with pure hate? Today, we hear about just that on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802. That is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us right on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And now more than ever, especially with the world of advertising kind of being up in the air and that all, you know, basically falling off the face of the earth, your guys' support of our show is what really keeps this ship afloat. So if you enjoy this pirate ship, please consider becoming EPP, an extra podcast person. Go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up to be one there, or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus material, all of our advanced episodes, our ebook, our audiobook, their Amazon bestsellers. You get all of that as part of your membership at $5 a month. I know times are tight, but if you can afford the $5 to help keep this show on the air, we would so greatly appreciate it. I know you guys are sick to death of me saying that at the beginning of every program, but I'm sorry I have to do it. There's new folks tuning in all the time. It really, truly allows us to stay on the air. I thank you guys. There's been several signups over the course of the craziness that we're going through right now. Thank you so much, you guys, if you have signed up during this time. And if you're staying on board as an EPP, thank you so much. You guys are truly what allows us to do this program. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you for today's episode. And how are you this fine day, Carol?
You know, Tony, I was telling you earlier, this is the one time of the week. Tony and I do this on Monday nights. It's the one time of the week that everything is still the same.
Yeah.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for bringing a little bit of normal in my life, or leaving that one little bit of normal there.
I look forward to it.
Everything else is so different. But this, it's the same. So thank you.
Yeah. I'm glad you feel that way. I look forward to it, too. It is a little bit of normal. And I know a lot of our listeners do, too. The thing is, you know, I noticed, you know, a lot of folks, obviously, they used to listen to us on their commute and all of that. So that I have seen change in numbers as far as when people are downloading the show. Now, maybe we're being listened to on their walk or their jog or whatever it may be. Hopefully just the feeling of the show that everybody likes, that's not changing. And we can be the little piece of normal as we're all going through this. We're recording this, by the way, and I always timestamp these right now. On the 30th of March of 2020, this should be airing actually towards the end of April 2020.
Hey, by that time, I think they might have loosened the restrictions.
I don't know. Maybe? I don't know. I hope. I hope things are well enough to do that. I don't want anybody to do anything stupid that's going to make this worse. But it's just a day-by-day thing.
That's the thing.
You know?
You know, here's the thing. You're supposed to stay home. You're not supposed to be socializing. You're not supposed to be, you know, the whole idea is that you could have it and you could give it to somebody else. Yeah. You could get it from somebody else. So yesterday morning, I go at a very off hour on a Sunday to go shop for my mom because mm-hmm. she lives here and I won't let her go do it.
Sure.
And so, you know, I go in with my wipes, I wipe down the cart. I'm super safe. And like there are families shopping,
yeah.
mom and dad and kids. And I'm like, okay, you got a mom and a dad. One, you could have stayed home with the kids.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that's driving me crazy. This is not normal. It's not normal.
No. And that's, I mean, by the time this airs, maybe more people will have accepted that fact.
I hope so.
But I've noticed it. I live in the land of Walmart. Their corporate headquarters are, I drove by their home office yesterday and there's a giant Walmart directly across the street from it. And I swear to God, the parking lot was busier than it normally is, you know, and, yeah. and I'm just thinking, holy shit. That is got to be a cesspool of germs every place. And I would be thinking now, you know, I know people have to go to the grocery store, but maybe they'll be a little more, you know, thoughtful about it. Maybe it'll be less people at a time. Nope, it looked like a normal Walmart parking lot day. And it's like, no way in hell am I going there. And I know they have more reduced hours now, too. So I don't know if that contributes to it being more compact. But at some point, and maybe by the time this airs, we're going to have something where it's like, yeah, you can come in, but only so many at a time. I think there's going to need to start being that sort of a restriction in place where it's like pull in, take right. a window or park in these parking spots that are numbered and watch for your number to pop up. And then you can come into the store because that in itself, that's not good. I go to there's one small little grocery store down the road from me called the Fresh Market that I do like to frequent because it's usually not very busy. And I've not gone in there in 2 weeks now. But I you know, the best thing to do in times like this is, you know, we got to get groceries and stuff. Either do the delivery if you can, do the pickup, do the smaller store, or do the store that's not packed. It's never a good idea to go into anything that is that busy. And I have a feeling by the time this airs, many are going to have learned that lesson too hard in the wrong way by having. I was freaked out when I went the other week and I was stocking up for about 2 or 3 weeks of food. And I was in there. This was about a little over a week ago as of today of the airing of this. And it was just so many people. And I got out of there and I'm just like, oh, my God. And I took a shower and, you know, it was just. You know, I was scared. I was like, I was exposed to so many people. But I, you know, as of right now, I'm fine. I have no symptoms of anything. I haven't been tested for anything. I don't feel anything. But, you know, it just makes you think. And I just thought there's no way in hell I'm going into that store again like that. It's just no. So.
No, I would like when I shopped for my mom, I drove by two grocery stores and they were too crowded. And I'm like, aha, I know the one to go to.
Yeah.
So I found another one. And it was like, looked like a early Monday morning sort of crowd, like regular, like not crowded, great parking spot.
Sure.
I'm like, that's the kind of store.
Yeah. Everybody's kind of trying to figure out their own way of doing this. Just got to be sensible. Anyway, you guys are here and listening for some release. And so are we. And sorry for going on about this for a bit, but sometimes us chatting is therapeutic as well. And we're all kind of in this together. So let's get to our ghost stories. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. You can write on it, realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to our First letter, it says, "Hey, Tony and Carol, I've been an avid listener for about 2 years and I can't get enough of your podcast. I've only had a handful of experiences in my life, but the ones I've had are super creepy. The first one of which has to do with sleep paralysis. For my entire life, I've had nightmares that have always been very vivid and in detail. But what happened to me on this night was something completely different than any bad dream I've ever had. When I was 19, I was going through an extremely rough patch in life, and my already bad dreams reached a whole new level of messed up. I dreamt of my own death many, many times and dreamt of the deaths of loved ones. Finally, one night I woke up in the middle of the night, unable to move whatsoever. I was frantically looking around my room when I laid my eyes at a dark figure of a man at the foot of my bed. It was a lot like what many others have described in sleep paralysis, a tall man with broad shoulders wearing a trench coat and a top hat. He was darker than night. He stood out in my already dark room. I couldn't make out a face or any eyes, but I could feel pure hatred for me radiating off him. I wanted to scream and reach out and turn my light on, but my body was still frozen. After what felt like several long minutes of this, I was finally able to snap out of it and turn my light on. I was petrified. I've had bad dreams before, but nothing scared me like this. I didn't sleep for the rest of the night. I tried to tell people close to me about it, and all anyone could say was that it was just a bad dream. But I knew it was much more than that. That night haunted me for a long time, but I just decided to push it out of my mind and move on with my life. It wasn't until a couple years later I was stacking wood at my parents' house and listening to your podcast when I heard at least three stories of experiences that were so like mine. I couldn't believe this was an actual thing that happened to people. I come from a very skeptical family, so I'd never really thought to try to tell my parents about it until I heard about it happening to other people too. So I thought about it a while when my dad came out to help me stack the rest of the wood before it got dark. I decided to bring it up in the most nonchalant way possible. I told him the whole story, and he gave me a funny look and said I should tell my mom, which was super shocking. I thought he would just write me off. So we finished up stacking and I went inside to wash up and tell my mom, and pretty much the same thing happened. I told her and she stopped what she was doing, giving me a terrified look. I asked what's wrong, and what she said next gave me the chills. She proceeded to tell me about how when I was a little girl, I would come running into my parents' room screaming and in tears, saying that it was a dark man at the foot of my bed. This would happen every night at my parents', and they would always try to reassure me that it was only a dream. But I was always adamant that what I saw was real. More real than any dream. Apparently this dark figure has haunted me my entire life. I can't help but wonder if he always has been the cause of my horrible nightmares. I'd love to know your thoughts. Thank you for taking the time to read my story. I'll write in soon with my other ones." All right, back to the ghost stories in just a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, StoryWorth. This is a very odd year, obviously, and trying to find the perfect gift for mom in a normal time may not be an easy thing. But let me tell you this, this is the perfect gift anytime. Got it for my mom last year. We're doing it again this year. What is StoryWorth? StoryWorth is a way to connect with mom or dad or whoever, really. Obviously, Mother's Day is coming up. And it's a way to connect in ways that you may never have before through stories. Sometimes writing out those stories is just the way that people are able to really truly communicate what they've been through, what their life was like, so you can understand in a way maybe you never have before. I know more than anything, parents cherish spending time with family. And that's why, I'm giving my mom the most meaningful gift this year, a chance to connect with loved ones through StoryWorth. StoryWorth is a fun and meaningful way where you can engage with family, especially relatives you might not get to see very often. I think we're all going through that. This online service helps loved ones share stories through thought-provoking questions about their memories and personal thoughts. It's a gift of spending time together wherever you live. Every week, StoryWorth emails your family members different story prompts, questions you've never thought to ask, like, what have been some of your life's greatest surprises? What's one of the riskiest things you've ever done? Things like that. And there's just tons of questions that they throw out there. And you can select them, too. Reading the weekly stories is fun, makes our family really feel close, even if we're all not together, because obviously a lot of us are not right now. They, at the end of the year, and I just got last year's, we just finished up a book in the mail. Storyworth will compile every answered question and photo that they attach to the questions into a beautiful keepsake book and then ship it to you for free. I just got my mom's in the mail the other day, and it's really neat to go through this thing and see all these pictures and all these stories that she's attached, and I can't wait for my daughters to read it as well. Give your mom the most meaningful gift this year with Storyworth. Get started right away without the need for shipping by going to storyworth.com/ghost. You'll get $10 off your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/ghost for $10 off.
Part of me is like, if I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw a guy with a dark coat and a top hat, I'd be like, Abe Lincoln is here. Oh my God.
Hey.
I love Abe Lincoln. And then I would be scared shitless.
Now, Abe Lincoln.
Then I would be like, what are you doing here, Abe Lincoln?
Abe Lincoln, the historic Abe Lincoln, or Abe Lincoln, vampire hunter?
Oh, no, the one I like.
Okay.
The president. He would be here to calm me down and tell me something wise. No, I think that would be terrifying. And then to know that it's happened for a long time, that to me, I don't know. One thing that she did say in that letter that kind of gave me, comfort, but the fact that she's heard other people on this podcast with similar stories, I think that's good, because then you don't feel like, oh, crap, I'm the crazy one.
Sure.
Sometimes, like I am, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You feel like, okay, this isn't, I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Which is good. But I don't know, why would, like, you know, we talk about a haunted house or somebody that you know, but who could that be?
Yeah, we got to try and identify it. And if you can't identify it, like, what do you do? Yeah.
And then, but like, then if you dive into it too far to find out why, does it get darker? I don't want it to get darker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I would also want to know, like, why does that happen to me? Or is it, you know, if it's something that happens like that in the middle of the night, you know, and those, like, that sleep paralysis can, I've seen things that and felt things that I 100% thought was happening.
Sure.
And it wasn't. It's in my head.
Well, and sometimes you have to wonder, was it in your head or was there a mix of things going on there?
Yeah, true.
And so, you know, sometimes it's easier to write it off as this was all in my head than coming to the realization and accepting maybe it wasn't all in your head. Maybe there was something
else.
Well,
and who wants to think that's real?
Well, exactly, yeah.
What's worse?
Like, yeah, that's
this
the question.
Anna over here going, everything's just fine.
And you don't
that
live in a haunted house.
It's the foot of my bed.
So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. We were looking, and let's not go into this topic very deep because we haven't really talked about much of this on the air, but I'll just say this. This was kind of interesting. Me and Jen were online and looking at some pictures of houses earlier tonight. And there was this really neat one that was out in the country, and we looked at it. I mean, and it was neat because of the age of the house, and oh my God, the amount of work that would need to be done to it. Absolutely crazy. Every room was wallpapered in different wallpaper, and it was truly an antebellum style home, and it wasn't like a recreation. We looked at the year it was built. 1856. And like, holy shit. Yeah, she just got the shivers. She's like, stop looking at that one. I'm like, look at this. This is crazy. And they've really, you know, I'm sure it's been redone probably four or five times over in the course of its life. The last time was probably 1980. But it was just like, oh my God. There is a, in the back of this house, there was a guitar-shaped pond. And I don't know. I'm like, who lived here that put in a guitar-shaped
pond?
So
in 1970, somebody put in a guitar-shaped
pond. Yes, a guitar-shaped pond. And I was reading in the description of it, the same family has lived in this house since 1856. It's been passed down generation to generation to generation. The initial of the family has been monogrammed on the side of the chimney in the back of the house. And this is the first time it's ever gone on the market to someone outside of the family.
Interesting.
That house is going to be haunted as shit from the family members who don't want it going outside of the family. And they're going to be pissed when you're pulling down that wallpaper. And
yeah, I wouldn't want to be moving in there.
No.
Like, you're the first outsider that's ever lived in that house.
Could you imagine, though? We could document the shit out of that. We could make a whole new podcast just about redoing that house.
This old haunted house.
It would just be crazy. And it was just no.
But I agree. But
it'd be interesting. It would be interesting. It would be something I don't want to move again with getting into a haunted house. So it's like, I'll take that one off the list. But anyway, more on that at another time. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Or you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Tell Us Your Ghost Story. Let's go to our next one. It says, from a young age, I've been told the story of from a very young age, I've been told the story of my personal haunting. I was a child of around 3 to 4 living in a house in Darwin. I was one of two children, where my brother was but a year older. I was told the story of when the house wasn't only haunted, but the ghost would play with me while I was in my cot. I'd be laughing some nights at no reason, where my older brother would be crying and screaming in some form of panic. But every time my mother or my aunt would come to check on us, I'd be standing up at the side laughing. My brother would be crying in his cot at the other side of the bedroom. My aunt was babysitting for me and my brother one night, and she kept an ear open for us because she found it strange that while I was laughing, my brother would be crying almost at the same time. So one night, my auntie burst into the bedroom under a sneaky suspicion something was going on, but had no idea of what. I'd be laughing as usual, my brother crying, so my aunt burst into the bedroom trying to at least figure out what was happening for the strange behavior of my brother and me. She burst through the door and screamed so loud the whole street heard, and came in to her aid. She ran down the stairs, grabbed the biggest knife she could, and ran back to the bedroom, where a large looming shadow was hanging over the cot I was in and seemed to be playing with me while my brother was screaming, looking over. My aunt barged in with knife in hand and started shouting at the figure to get away and to leave us alone. The people at the front door, all being concerned, all ran into the house to help, and while only a handful of them saw the figure, none of them believed it and attempted to go through the motions of figuring out how and what it could have been. My aunt determined that the figure was a very tall man wearing what looked like a cloak and hat, made no sound other than what I apparently heard while playing with him or it. I don't want to sound off about any of it, but since that day I've had nothing but the worst luck, from getting sick, accidents. So many times people are surprised I'm still alive, taken into care away from my family from 8 till I became 17. I still to this day believe I'm cursed, either then or just really bad luck enabled. We live in the UK still, although I've never gone back to that house or street. My aunt has since left this world. My father too. My mother is still alive, but in a bad way and bad health like myself. My brother also has left this world, and from that experience, there's only me left. I'm not good at telling stories, so I can only tell what I was told for many, many years. That's got to be kind of troubling to try and recall
that
these.
That one made me sad.
Yeah, you recall these things, and the people who can be, you know, very empathetic with you and understanding of that shared experience aren't there to do that anymore.
Well, what makes me sad is that he, I'm assuming, was, like, feels cursed.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a horrible feeling to your whole life feel like that.
Sure.
Like, that makes me sad. No. You know, and I don't know if that's the case, or maybe, you know, poor health, a number of different other things, but I would suggest finding someone to talk to, because there's got to be some way you could, like, you just can't go around feeling like that all the time.
No. No, I mean, even...
And then when you factor in all of the other horrible losses that have been suffered, like, yeah, you would be totally depressed, too. That makes me sad.
When you're gone through something like that, it's definitely important to talk to somebody because you have, you know, you have these memories, these things that you can't really explain. And you're dealing with that and the losses and trying to make sense of so many things. Yeah, obviously the best thing to do is to try and get it out to somebody who's...
I get pissed when I hear about, like, then she saw the figure playing with the child or whatever. It's like, it's a kid.
Yeah.
It's a little innocent kid, you know.
And it's interesting because some kids will make the reaction of laughing and pointing and having a great time, and the others scaring and freaked the hell out. And
the other sibling might have been older.
Yeah.
And was seeing something differently than the little one.
Sure.
Too.
No.
But, yeah, that just makes me sad. So I would think, too, for that person, there's a combination of, there could be something, you know, that I don't know if that feeling is still around.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you add in all of the other things, you know, losing a parent and a sibling, and that's a lot to process.
It is. Thank you for sharing your experience with us here on the program. Let's go to our next letter. It says, this is a pretty short story of an experience that happened to my friend that I witnessed. My friend Kathy is half Muslim and half Irish. Her father, Muhammad, is full Muslim, and her mother, Chrissy, is full Irish. Her uncle on her father's side was by far her favorite uncle. This happened about a year and a half ago. Her uncle was not doing very well and had cancer. He was completely bedridden in the hospital, and my friend Kathy would visit him all the time. When the doctors told their family that he was not going to be living much longer, they were always visiting him every day. My friend had a camera and video phone and decided to record her and her uncle having a conversation so she could always hear his voice. She turned her video phone on and she told her uncle to say something. He looked at Kathy and said, "I love you, Kathy." A couple of days later, she showed me it because she thought it was sweet and I hadn't met him yet. A week later, he passed away. My family was invited to the funeral and so many people showed up. When they buried him, he was laid on his side. I don't really know why or if it has any importance to their religion or a tradition. The next day, my friend was crying hysterically and asked if she could come over, and I said, "Well, of course." She was over at my house. After about 10 minutes, she began to tell me she had a dream the night before, the night after the funeral. She said she was in the cemetery where he was buried in California, and she said it was very foggy. There was a casket waiting to be lowered, and her uncle was sitting up in the casket talking to her. She said he told her how much he loved her and that he will be okay and always watch over her and be there for her. She said she then woke up and went to open her phone to see what time it was. Then she noticed that the video she had taken of her uncle was set as her main background. When she opened it, it played the video where he told her he loved her. She said she had never set that as her background, and she had many photos and videos taken with her phone since she had taken that video. So it was odd that out of every photo and video she had, that was the one that got accidentally set as her background. What scared her more was because he had just died, and it was her uncle looking at her every time she opened the phone. It creeped her out. She tried to change it and take it off, and it wouldn't work. You get the change default background option, select a different pick, and it just wouldn't change. I had the same phone as she did, and I tried to change it, and nothing worked. I thought it was his strange way and thought it was touching. It's nice to know that the deceased still live on and watch over us. And I'm going to turn Carol's mic on, and I'm going to guess she's crying a little bit.
No, I'm not crying at all.
Okay.
Because it's like, at first I'm all touched by that and the dream. And I'm like, oh, that's so beautiful. And then, oh, you know, that was no accident. But then the fact that she couldn't change it back, I'd be like, okay, now you're creeping me out. Like, stop some shit.
It was warm and cuddly, and then you went too far.
Yeah. It's like, that, you know, and maybe if somewhere in that was, and her uncle was such a prankster. But, and maybe he was, I don't know. But even, maybe if my uncle was a prankster and that shit was going down, I'd be okay with it. But I love the idea of like, oh my God, how creepy yet beautiful and weird my uncle is on my phone.
And then every day she checks her browser history and like, what the fuck are you looking at, my dead uncle?
You have secrets.
I didn't know you were into that. That's a great way to ruin that story. But no, I mean, it is.
That's weird. Yeah. I would seriously as like, you know me, I love that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But I would be getting a new phone. Like, or as much as I'd want to keep it, maybe I could upload it to Facebook and then delete it off my phone or something. Upload it to the cloud.
Yeah.
So you have it and delete it off the phone. Because I'd be like, you know, Uncle, we're not doing it your way.
This is just getting weird.
Is your way is creeping me out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder too, like, because I have had so many conversations with people who have died. And like the other night, I was going through some stuff and I found a card from my friend Dallas. And he's been gone 3 years. Mm-hmm. And like something about, and the message in the card was so beautiful about how much he loved me. And it was just so sweet. And you find those things and it's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. But to have it just shoved in your face, it's different.
It's kind of like
a beautiful part. Yeah. And they're like, okay, this is, you know, here's the line. You are so on the other side of that line. You've been crossed it so far.
The only thing I can think of that's worse is a coworker giving you an urn for your undead pet. That's the only thing that makes that work.
Yeah. With the necklace in it.
With a necklace.
Your dog's ashes.
Exactly. That's the only thing
when
that can make.
When your dog's not dead.
Yeah.
Guess what? My dog still is not dead.
Yeah, exactly. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi. It's a ghost story.
Hey, Tony, Jenny, and Carol. This is Kelly. I'm calling from New Hampshire. I called in about a nurse cloud once before, and I also called in to one of the live Facebook shows. And I wanted to share with you an experience I had in August of 2018. So my whole life, I've kind of felt like the way spirits communicate with me is through my dreams. And there's a defining difference between those dreams and any other just regular dream. They just feel really different. They're very vivid. I remember their details years later. And again, there's always like some sort of message. And that message can change, but they're different. I don't know how else to explain it. They don't happen a lot, but when they do, I can tell. So I had one such dream in August of 2018. I remember the date, it was August 14th, and I had, you know, the dream the night before August 14th. And from what I remember of the dream, it was very quick, but it was these two women I've never seen before. They looked like it could be mother and daughter. And it was a very comforting feeling, and I woke up soon after the dream started, and I just had this, like, whispered name, like swirling around in my head. It wasn't out loud, but like upon waking up, I just had this name in my head, and I just had a very comforting feeling. But I had an overwhelming sense that the woman's name I was hearing was the woman who was trying to communicate with me. And I just had a sense that she wanted me to tell her daughter that everything was going to be okay. And so I'm not going to say the name just because for privacy purposes, but it wasn't a common name. It was a woman's first and last name. And it's not like, it's not a common name. So it kind of stuck with me all day. And when I got home from work, I was like, I don't want to look this name up because I'm afraid of what I'm going to find, but I'm just going to look it up. Right, like in my head I'm thinking, oh my god, was this me in my past life or like whatever stuff I don't want to know, but I decided to look it up, and lo and behold, this woman passed away on August 14th, either in the 80s or 90s. I wasn't even alive yet in the 80s, so it was just a really strange, eerie dream. But you know, I just had this feeling she wanted me to tell her daughter everything was okay. Like, everything was going to be okay. And that was communicated through me, like, not even in words in my head, but I just had that sense. And I just couldn't, you know, I'm not going to try to look up this woman's daughter and call her and say that your mom wants me to let you know everything's going to be okay. You know, that would just be kind of crazy. But yeah, that was my experience, and I thought I would share it with you guys. So have a great day. I love your show. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that experience. You're not the first person to have that experience and have shared something like that on the air. And yes, as crazy and as weird and as bizarre as that is, the fact that you were able to look this up and make that connection that easily online, I honestly, and this is your call, I think it might be your responsibility to do so, to at least reach out, even just anonymously through Facebook or something, however you found her, and say, look, I know this sounds crazy. I know this is weird, and I don't know how you are going to take this, but this is the dream I had. This is what this woman looked like. This is the message I got. I'm not looking for you to reply back to me or anything. I'm just giving you this information because this happens. And for whatever reason she picked you, I don't know, but we've had that before many times. A while back, there was a woman who listened to our program who's a very big sensitive. She was in an airport, and she was just going through the terminal, and she got that exact same thing. It wasn't even in a dream. She just picked up this message of, this is the message, and those are the people standing right over there at gate 111. You need to tell them this from, I believe it was their son who had been deceased, and she just went and did it. She's like, exactly what I just said. This sounds crazy. I don't know why I'm coming up to you. Please don't be afraid. But I get these things sometimes. This is my message. I wish you well, but here's what I have for you. And then she just went away. But the family did confirm to her that, yes, in fact, her son was dead. That was his name. That was, this message makes sense. Why, how it happens, I don't know, but it happens. What are your thoughts, Carol?
Oh, I'm totally with you on that. Now, I think since it's been a couple years almost since she had that dream,
yeah,
you know, if she'd had it more, you know, if she's continuing to have it, I would be like, you have got to talk to this daughter.
Sure.
But the fact that I'm assuming it hasn't happened since, maybe she's moved on. She's like, I'm going to find someone who will do this.
She found another messenger.
You know, obviously she doesn't want to do it. But I think that people like her are open to that. Mm-hmm. And that's why, because she can't get into her daughter.
Yeah.
And her daughter might be having a lot of grief and a lot of barriers up. Yeah. And someone like her, it's like, hey, and I don't know. She mentioned the past life thing. I think maybe there was some connection somewhere at some point. I don't know. Because I think that's a whole other show.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe there is a connection with her and this woman.
It could be.
Not aware of.
I think sometimes people can just be beacons. And sometimes if you're on the other side and you know, oh, right, this person is light, is bright enough, whatever you want to call
yeah,
it.
Yeah. You can get in, yeah, you can get through to that person.
Yeah. It's like, you're an open line, and hopefully this messenger is going to be able to take it. And I don't blame you for being scared or not wanting to do it and feeling really awkward and weird, but understand it's an ability that you have, and it can be used for good. And there's probably a reason for it. So
she also said she wasn't even born in the 80s.
Yeah.
So she's young. So it might be something that develops.
Yeah.
Over the course of years, and something that she does become more comfortable with.
Yeah.
And maybe she could be the woman who walks up to total strangers at the airport.
Yeah. The more you listen to the show, the more you're going to hear stories like this back in the archives going forward. I'm sure you're not the last, but you're going to discover there's a ton of people just like you. And at first, yes, it feels bizarre and strange and weird, but it usually is a gift. You can call it that if that's how you feel, or if you feel like some people feel it's a curse, but it quite often brings far more good and comfort than it does negative, other than the uncomfortable, awkward feeling of having to be that messenger. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that with us. Greatly appreciate it. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, please, please, please become an extra podcast person. Keep us on the air. I know things are really tight right now. If you can spare $5 to help us keep doing this program, we would greatly appreciate it. We're trying to go above and beyond to give you as much extra content as we can right now. Get all the EPP bonus content as usual. And we're throwing out more for free during the week as well as we all go through this crazy shitstorm. So hopefully you're able to do that and help keep our ship afloat. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.